Hello everyone and welcome to Being Mindful. I'm Lillian Larty and I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, the one and only Pastor Deji Ayarendi. Being Mindful is our regular broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you're a regular listener to Being Mindful, then you'll know that we also like to deal with relevant and current issues. If you're joining us for the very first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted with certain types of concerns in our Christian lives. As always, during the show, we would love to hear from you, so please do get in touch regarding today's topic, which I will share later, but the easiest way to get in touch is to contact us using the PHBC Radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly from there. We'd love to hear from you. Equally, if you're on social media, you can contact us using the handle at PHBC London to find us on X, which is formerly known as Twitter, on Instagram and on Facebook. And any message you send to us during the show will come directly to us in the studio. So let's get to it. So in our normal fashion, as always, we check in with each other and we find out what is on our mind. So starting with you, Pastor Deji, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind? Love, life, and other mysteries.
Oh,
it's what I love that phrase. It's that phrase is actually the song title from I can't remember the name of the group now. It's a Christian group,
uh-huh.
And it's three women or four women. I can't remember the name of the group, and they got a great song called, well, in the 90s, mm-hmm. called Love, Life, and Other Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I quite enjoyed listening to back in the day. So what's on my mind? What's on my mind? I'm thinking about the young people.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the young people. First of all, I had a really full weekend, really just mm-hmm. wonderful, great. I'm loving life, love life, and other mysteries. Did you see what I did there?
Yes, I did see.
You got it.
That was very clever.
I don't need to do it again.
No. Oh, I think we got it.
So I'm loving life.
This is going to be, how many times can Pastor drop love, life, and other mysteries during the show?
Yeah, well, you are in the spirit. In that moment, I thought, I'll see how many times I can do that. So anyway,
and whoever guesses the right number, you'll win a prize. I don't know what that prize is yet, but keep listening.
You win a prize of extra love of Jesus.
Amen.
If there's such a thing. So yeah, I'm loving life and other mysteries. And I think that, I'm thinking about the young people. Right now, in another part of the building whilst the show is going on,
mm-hmm.
We got our young people who a couple of weeks ago watched a movie, mm-hmm. very well-known movie, came out quite a while back, called The Shack,
mm-hmm.
with all its idiosyncrasies and its controversies even. Obviously, it's a movie, it's a film, you mm-hmm. know, so there's a little bit of creative license. But I think it's a really powerful movie in terms of seeing and understanding and getting a sense of God. And so the young people mm-hmm. were right now are next door, just having a discussion around that,
mm-hmm.
around some of the points, some of the theologies,
mm-hmm.
You know, around the movie, what they got and their understanding of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really quite excited because I think when I was their age, God was, that's all I'll say. that's all I'll say, you know. So it's really, really wonderful and I'm very, very excited about that. I have a lot of... I'm actually encouraged by a number of them
mm-hmm.
who are showing, I would say, even maturity beyond their years in terms of how they are gravitating to God, how they're grabbing hold of God and growing in God. You know, and it's great to see how the love they have for God is coming through in their lives, even though, you know, there are mysteries in many ways in the journeys that they face. You know, their future is still a little bit mysterious, you know. So I'm very, very pleased to see. It's actually tickling me. Oh my days. If this is your first time on Being Mindful, hey, the sub name or the other name for this show is Being Joyful.
Yes. Know? We yeah. like to be joyful. The joy, yeah. the joy of the Lord is our strength.
We do hope you like to laugh as well. We do. Hey, listen, we touch on serious stuff and we're going to get serious in a moment. But yeah, that's what's on my mind. Just thinking about the young people, thinking about growing in God, thinking about how God's working on them mm-hmm. and then working in them and through them so that they're being used of Him to influence their generation.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very excited about that.
Sounds good.
So thinking about you, what's been going on for you? What are you thinking? What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Well, similar to you, Pastor, I had a full weekend as well. I had way too much sugar than my body could handle. And I'm just like, I'm still recovering, to be honest with you.
Sugar? I mean, you're not a sugar person. What's sugar? What, as in actual processed sugar?
No, as in sweet stuff, chocolate.
Oh, my
what
days.
Else did I have? Croissants. I had muffin, a bit of a muffin, which was just, yeah, not nice.
Are you even allowed to have sugar? You, I mean, you're one of the healthiest health freaks I know.
I can have little amounts. My body can tolerate little amounts, but yeah, just I went beyond and it was, yeah. Anyway,
you got excited, huh?
I got too excited.
But here's my question. Here's my question. Yeah, I'm not averse to sugar.
I can
see. You know, those of you that know me, you see me, my buff physique. Yeah. You know, my 6'4", full of muscles. There's some bubble wrap because I need to protect what's important. But okay. You know, my buff physique. I don't have a problem with sugar.
I can see.
Here's my question. You keep saying you can see. It's okay. It's okay. So here's my question about you and your encounter with sugar over the weekend. Was it pleasurable?
It was.
It was enjoyable, right?
It was, and I did pray. I said, God, please don't let this sugar have an adverse effect on me.
And then you had the next mouthful.
Yeah. And then it was like, the next day it was like, Lord,
you need to bind those calories and bind those chemicals.
Nothing's to do with calories at all, but it's the effect. It's like how alcohol is on others. Mm-hmm. I have the same effect with sugar.
You get sugar drunk.
I do.
Wow.
I do. I said to Babs yesterday as I was coming in, you know, and I was greeting and I said, I'm a bit drunk on sugar. And she went, drunk?
You should be drunk in the Holy Spirit. And she quotes scripture.
That's exactly what she said to me. That's exactly what she said to me. She was preaching to me. So I said, well, hopefully the praise and worship will lead me to be drunk in the Holy Spirit. But yeah, that's the effect it has on me, sadly.
Wow.
So far and few between, I have to be selective on what I eat. Yeah.
Wow.
Very sensitive. So, and that was because in former years I had an addiction to sugar. But just feeling how my body felt, and I thinking, oh my goodness, this was how my body felt years ago. Mm. And I just, you know, it was kind of like, oh, why am I feeling like this? And then just push on, you know. I didn't relate to what I was eating was how I was feeling.
Mm.
Yeah. So, now it just kind of really hit me. What's today? Monday. So yesterday, you know, and I was just like, oh my goodness. But you know, I get better in terms of realizing, okay, Lydian, yeah, you can only tolerate so much, but still, it doesn't stop me from eating it.
I'm also curious. I mean, why did you fall off the wagon? Did you just go to a sugar convention? I mean, what happened? You went to the M&M store?
I didn't quite fall off the wagon, Pastor DG. It was a case of, well, it's there and, you know, temptation.
Well, you walked into a corner shop and just saw sugar and just started gorging.
When we were at the conference, because they...
Oh, you attended a conference?
Yes, I attended a women's conference on Saturday, which was absolutely fabulous. And you know, they lay out their foods and stuff there, you know.
They laid out sugar.
Yes, and cookies were there and chocolate, brownies were there and muffins and What else was there? Millionaire Shortcake was there.
Goodness me.
Anyway. Yeah.
Some people are drooling right now. They're reaching for tissues. I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
But you know what? When it comes to just thinking chocolate, I'm not a fan of all chocolate. Easter eggs don't. They don't. You can have Easter eggs. Give it to me and it'd be there for 2 years.
Wow.
For some reason, I just don't feel to eat. I don't know. I've always been like that as a child. I've had, you know, when you get Easter eggs and they've got the bits in the middle, yes. Like, you know, the Smarties.
So you'll eat the bit in the middle.
I'll have the bit in the middle, the outer bit. Mm-mm. I won't even
Even though it's the same chocolate.
I won't even touch it
at all. That is amazing. That is, wow.
Easter eggs don't faze. When I see them in the shops, I don't feel tempted to buy them at all. Yeah. And especially those gooey ones with the cream. Oh, no, thank you.
Cream eggs.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No.
Wow.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't touch me at all.
Today is the day. I knew you were weird. I didn't know why or how. I get it now.
I'm weird. What about you?
I'm normal. Perfectly normal. You like chocolate. You'll eat, let's just say, for argument's sake, you'll eat, for example, dairy milk. And you will eat, eat dairy.
Dairy milk.
Okay, you'll have chocolate, whatever. What chocolate? Give me one.
So.
Aero.
No, green and blacks.
Okay. You'll have green and black. Goodness me. No cheap chocolate for Lillian. You know, we need to move on with this show.
Green and blacks. And what's that other one? Lindt.
Oh.
Yeah. I like quality chocolate.
No cheap chocolate for Lillian. So, you know, Hotel Chocolat. You know.
Yeah. Hold on. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you'll goodness. Have Hotel Chocolat chocolate, but you won't eat their Easter egg.
No.
There's no... I'm sure you figured out that there's no difference.
I know there's no difference.
It's just the shape of the thing.
It's boring. There's nothing. There's no, you know, it's thin. You put it in your mouth and it's gone in seconds. And you're just like, what was that about?
We're going to get to the topic in a minute. We just need to, you are just, amen, hallelujah. If you just joined us on the show, you're listening to Being Mindful, where we talk about all sorts of weird stuff.
Including chocolate.
Idiosyncrasies, and including sugar. Liking chocolate but not liking chocolate Easter eggs. I don't get this. Let's go and listen to some music now. And I think this song actually is the right one for you. Okay. I think. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Use the word okay because this is a song that I've danced to as a family. We've danced to this at home, in the car, on PHBC radio. It's a song by a West African, Nigerian, actually, Afrobeats, Christian Afrobeats, let's be clear, gospel Afrobeats artist. His name is Elikem Kofi, and the song is Be Okay.
Ooh.
Temptation to make you know they run.
Make you know they run.
When you're feeling low, when you're feeling high, put your trust in Jah.
Your trust in Jah.
Yeah, give him the praise to the day I go live this life. Oh, yeah. Plenty problems, we stand firm like Kilimanjaro. I know say I go die one day, but with Jehovah I stand.
Yeah.
Like every way jam. Can see my life, will be testimony.
Testimony.
All my friends and my family.
My family.
Just be using your head to my chin. Cause when you die, you go live the money.
Yeah. One day I'll see you when I end.
and they visualize. As long as God see me, Papa God did it for me.
We will be okay. Or we go be okay, as he said it. Elikem Kofi there. And I hope you had your, I hope you were able to get your dance on. I hope you were able to have a little bit of a boogie. Oh yes. Oh yeah. Oh yes. We did have a bit of a boogie in here.
We did.
So other than talking about, I think we need to move on from this chocolate issue. Really, this is just
chocolate,
you know,
gate.
Yes. So what's the main topic for today? What are we talking about, Lillian?
So today we are talking about, what am I doing for God? Is it all about works or self?
Mm.
And I'm not sure how we came up with the topic.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I as I prepared to come this evening,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, what are we talking about? Works? And I remember the announcement yesterday at church, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? Was that my idea? That's probably your idea. I don't know.
This audience.
Hey.
You see how the blame that gets shifted. Mm. Oh, it's you.
Boss, meet Lillian.
Yeah.
So what are our thoughts around this?
So, you know, we can be in church and we can think that, you know, what I'm doing in terms of serving, whether you're ushering, hostessing, whether you're doing something in the media, whether you're serving tea and coffee, we can get into that mindset that, oh, I'm doing this for God, you know. Mm. And I've been in a member of a couple of churches, and oftentimes, you know, I've sat back and I've watched people as they go about serving, quote unquote, and I'm thinking, why are they doing it? What are they doing it for? And I'm thinking, have they ever stopped and paused to ask themselves, why are you doing what you're doing in church? You know, and I've heard several conversations around this and on other radio stations. And, you know, sometimes people are saying, commonly the answer is, I'm doing it for God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but are you really doing it for God, or are you doing it for yourself? Because I've seen, you know, certain people do certain activities to be seen, you know, especially when guest preachers have come. You know, I've seen this in certain churches where guest preachers have come, and these guest preachers are well known.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden you see Sister So-and-so, who hasn't been serving for the past few months,
swanning around like she's the lead usher.
All of a sudden come in their uniform, brushed up nicely. And you're like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then after the guest preacher is gone, where's Sister So-and-so?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Back to life, back to reality.
Exactly.
And I think that's that's a really, 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 really powerful thing you've said, because we're all susceptible to that same temptation.
Mm.
But I think there's too much of it
mm-hmm.
going on in the church.
There is.
Where, you know, years ago we did this sermon series on prayer,
uh-huh.
and one of the questions I asked, it was six or seven sermons on prayer, it was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and one of the questions I asked in one of my sermons is, who's answering your prayer? So similarly, this kind of, just then that thought came to mind is, you know, to whom are you, or for whom are you doing what you're doing?
Mm.
Sometimes we say, just because we wrap it in Bible paper
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean we're doing it for God.
Mm.
Sometimes the motive is about us, you know, wanting to be up there, wanting to be the lead, wanting to be the one mm-hmm. that's heard, wanting to be to be seen, if I can pull on yesterday's theme, you know, specifically wanting to be seen, you know, yesterday we were talking about Genesis 16 and El Roy, you know, the God who sees me. But Hagar's specific words in Genesis 16, 13 were, I have seen the God who sees me, you know. And sometimes we're just like, oh God, I want God to see me, but we don't care to see him. We don't care to notice him, acknowledge him, reverence him, regard him, respect him. We don't we just want him to see us, you know, notice us, look at me, look at me. And he's invisible and we don't care, you know. And I think that's a really, really powerful point is, I suppose the heart of this matter is the matter of the heart.
It's, you know, what are our motives for doing what we're doing, you know? And I'm all for people trying things out if they're trying to find out, well, you know, where does God want me to serve in terms of at my church? So, you know, I'm looking at this in terms of our local church, but not even just our local church. It can be within the body of Christ in general as well, because our gifts and where, how God wants to use us shouldn't just be contained to the local church. We've got the body of Christ, the universal church at large, you know. And again, sometimes you can be going to certain places to be seen, to be serving, to be doing something. And then it's all posted on social media and you'll think, oh my goodness, how anointed is that person?
Because,
you know, they were preaching there or they were serving there or they were doing this there, you know. And again, it's about the motive of the heart. And I, for me, I got to a place where I'm going to be sort of around, going around the houses a bit, because two things come to mind. One time we were in one place I was at, we were having a conversation around this, you know, about sometimes you can be serving in a certain department and that department is not running efficiently. All sorts of things can be going wrong. You know, and then we're there casting out the devil, saying it's the devil, this, that, blah, 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 binding left, right and center. But you could be an Achan in the camp. You're somewhere where God doesn't even need you to be, you know. But because you've put it on yourself that, no, I'm going to serve in this department, I'm going to squeeze myself into it. Whether anyone likes it or not, I'm going to be there.
Achan in the camp or a Jonah on the ship.
Or a Jonah on the ship, you know. And then things start going wrong. You know, and, you know, when things go wrong, you're not there able to help fix whatever's happening. You're just a standby. You're just standing there and watching, you know, because ideally you shouldn't be there, you know. And sometimes it can be, it can have that feeling of, well, if I'm not doing anything, I'm being disobedient. And that isn't necessarily the case, because I remember I took time out in my previous church because I was like, well, God, I don't know where you want me to be, because wherever I'm going, I'm just, it felt like I was facing a lot of conflict, you know, and it, for me, it was hard to not fit in as such, but position myself in a way that I knew that how the Lord wanted me to express what it was he wanted to express through me. But there was, it was like hitting against hard rocks, you know, most of the time. And I was like, Lord, this is exhausting. I'm just going to sit down and do, you know. But I realized that in me just taking time out, and again, some people fear that, well, if I'm just sitting down doing nothing, I'm just warming up the pews, you know, and I just feel idle. I need to do something. But sometimes God just wants to take you out in order to do things through you anyway. I don't know where I'm going with that.
I think that that's, you've made a really important point. And in fact, as you're speaking, God's been speaking to me about something else, which I shan't be sharing on air tonight. But you've made a really important point, or something came to mind as you were speaking, which is about being taken out and having that time to stop and wait. It's not having necessarily the time to just stop. There's a difference between stopped and wait. It's waiting on the Lord. It's what you're doing while you're waiting. It's the attitude of heart and mind while we're waiting. It's the openness of our spirit while we're waiting. It's the searching while we're waiting. You're waiting just like someone at the traffic lights. You're not parked. You're stopped. You're paused. You're waiting before you go. Mm-hmm. You're waiting for the permission, for the green light to go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we come into church with this eagerness. As you know, I used to be in the worship ministry. Mm-hmm. I used to do that. And that's the easy one, isn't it? Hey, you want to be the superstar? I want to get up there and sing.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
That's never been my temptation.
Really?
No, I can't sing anyway.
But you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Yes, I make a joyful noise.
Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, it's acceptable to him. It's acceptable to him. To him. Yeah, to him. You know, we thank God, you know, because within every single one of us, you know, he puts his love so we can live our lives. And amen. Whatever mysteries we face, you know, our lives are in his hands. Yeah. So, yeah, I know quite a number of people in the sort of worship ministry who will... These guys are clamoring to have their photo on every flyer.
Mm.
They're clamoring to be able to, and they will post those flyers on social media.
Mm.
And it's a little bit of, look what I've done.
Mm.
Look who I am. Mm. You know. And again, I said a little bit because it's a fine line between I want to help promote this event and put it out there in the public domain. Perhaps it may be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
I ain't got a problem with that. I ain't got a problem with that. But against my personal standards, so I'm going to say against my personal standards, I'm amazed the number of outfits people have and the number of clearly professionally taken photographs they have. You know, you'll see certain people, they'll have the one photo on every flyer.
Yeah.
It's the same photo.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I ain't got a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, every different flyer, there's a different photo. Wow. You know, you've been to the studio a few times, dude. You got a point to make about your image here.
Mm.
And that's where, again, I want to say, against my personal standards. Mm. Not, you know, each one work out their own salvation.
Exactly.
You know, and so I see a number of people, so you see that situation where they're clamoring to be the guy at the front, the girl at the front, the woman at the front, going, you know.
Yeah.
And not necessarily always pausing, stopping to wait, accepting every invitation to step up and step out and be in the limelight, not necessarily pausing to wait.
Mm.
And I think that's important for us to just bear in mind.
And to, like, because if we're in work, I mean, those who have jobs, you know, you will have appraisals. Mm-hmm. Where you will review how well are you getting
before
on.
You get to I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. Before you even get to appraisal, you're probation.
Yes, probation.
Can we actually just start
that is
there?
True. We don't have probation in churches, do we?
Before you get to probation, guess what? There's a selection process.
Oh my goodness, yes, Pastor.
You just, yes. You can sing. E-oh, e-oh. Oh, right, here, take the microphone, lead us. Ooh, you ain't tested any spirit.
Yeah. That is so true.
You ain't even had a conversation with this guy.
That is so true. That is so true.
You have no idea where this person's coming. I remember a season in my life where I was broken up, beat down, messed up. And I remember walking into a church. It was a dreadful season in my life. I remember walking into it. I never missed church, no matter how hard things got. And I remember walking into church this particular Sunday with my children. And it's one of those churches within the denomination where I used to serve. And then they asked the question, is anybody worshiping with us for the first time? It's a church I'd never been to. And obviously I indicated, oh, welcome, welcome. They do the whole welcome, sing for you, da 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 da. No problems. You know, they greet after service, fine. The following Sunday, we went back there. And as soon as we got in, as I'm walking in, somebody walked up and says, oh, man of God, please come and sit at the front. And I was in a place of brokenness where I just wanted to just be God's baby boy. I just wanted to sit under the word and receive. I didn't want to have to put my uniform on and strut. I didn't want to conform. I just wanted to, I wanted to be a patient, not recognized as a doctor, if you understand my metaphor.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, man of God, oh, please, no, you have to come to the front. And I didn't, and I cringed, and I went, and I you know, I obeyed. I was, you know, I believe in submission in the house of God.
Uh-huh.
And I went and I sat in the front row. And that was in 2009. To this day, all I've ever done is drive past that building. I never set foot in there again. Because for me, that was a problem. They recognized what I had before they recognized who I was. They didn't take the time to understand where I was coming from, my brokenness, the fact that I came there to receive healing, not to give ministry, if you understand what I mean. And so sometimes, even the church, the people around us, church leaders, were too eager to just squeeze what people have before we sense who people are.
Yes. And there can be that pressure of conforming in the church and saying, well, you know, if you're not doing something, or you're not seen to be doing something, or you're not utilizing what we see that you've got, then you're out of disobedience.
Yes. You then you're just a parasite. You're a passenger.
You're just
here to, you know.
And then, you know, different messages start coming from the pulpit to make you feel guilty. But that should not be the case. And it goes back to, you know, is that all about works or self? You know, and self could not just be self as in personal self, but self as with a capital S in terms of the church self, you know, because we want to be seen to have the best ushers in the whole of the body of Christ.
The most gifted singers.
The most gifted singers, worship, you know, the most gifted instrumentalists.
Yes,
you know?
The fanciest media we want to show.
Exactly. Yeah. And we miss the mark of why are we doing what we're doing?
Yes.
Who is this all for at the end of the day?
It's the fine line between wanting to bring an excellent offering and wanting to show off. There's a fine line between that. Right. What I'd like us to do now, I think, and I'm going to just throw this question out there. Is it all bad? You know, is works, you know, is works, is our works,
our works?
I don't... Anyway, are it all bad? This is, you know.
Is it all bad?
Oh, Lord, I give you my life.
You need some chocolate. You know?
Yes. honestly, as we journey through love, life, and other mysteries, and the mysteries of whether, you know, are it all bad and is it all,
Is it works? It works?
Yes. Let's listen to another piece of music. And I think this one is another, it's another upbeat track. No jazz this week.
Yay!
No jazz.
So is this trance, the next one? Trance?
No, you know, you and trance music.
Goodness, help me.
But it's upbeat, again, just help like the one we had previously. This one, listen, listeners, I'm telling you now, you can get up, kick off your shoes. Yeah. Ooh. Obviously don't stand up if you're driving. Try not to do that. You know, you know, if you're in a safe place, kick off your shoes, get ready for this one. This chap, also West African, this man's Ghanaian heritage, his name is Addo.
Ooh.
And this
he's on my list of songs.
And this song,
yes, I've got
and
that song.
Lillian,
see, that's a trance song. I'm dancing already.
Lillian's dancing already. She's rocking here with no music. Pray for us, saints. Pray for us. So this is Addo. In fact, this song was released exactly 1 year yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. 10th of May, 2023. Addo, and the song is called Back Home.
Find your way.
track. What a track. Did you?
I feel like I've been to the beach and come back.
Did you enjoy that one?
Huh? It was a very good song. Thank you, Bossy. You have made my evening. You have made my evening.
Oh, hallelujah. No, I thoroughly enjoy that song every time I've heard it. The music video is really wonderful. It's really simply shot, you know, no complications. My man's out in nature. He's enjoying his own music. Yeah.
Yes.
So I knew you did. I hoped you would enjoy that. And I'm glad that you actually did. So welcome back. If you just joined us on Being Mindful, we're talking about works and what it means to work or work for God, and the things that we do for God. Are they really for God? Was what we've been talking about. You know, who are we for whom are we doing what we do, and why are we doing what we do? Is it just for show? Is it really for God? Is it to satisfy an inner craving within us to be seen, you know, to be out there? But just before we went to the music break and listened to that wonderful track from Addo, the question was asked, is it all bad? You know, the work, the stuff that we do for God, is it all bad? Of course, salvation comes by grace, but there are different ways in which works or good works can play a part in our lives, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm just trying to find some scriptures, which I'll refer to in a moment. But, you know, is there such a thing as doing work for God? Is there such a thing? Because, you know, many of us have been brought up to believe that, well, what I'm doing it for God. But has God actually told you to do it? You know, that's the other thing as well. And there's, like I said, going back to, there's that fear that, well, if I'm not seen to be doing anything, or if I feel like I'm not doing anything, then, you know, I'm just warming the pew, I'm being disobedient. But sometimes God is just saying to you, look, sit and rest.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
God rested after he'd done his work for how many days? 6 days, it says in the word. On the seventh day, he did what? He rested.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and many of us feel afraid to rest.
Yeah.
In the body of Christ. And it's those moments of resting where God is actually, he's giving you the downloads, he's restoring you, he's re-energizing you so that you can get up
for the
and
next
be
phase.
Exactly, and be more effective. Because I've seen it so many times when people who are serving and they're tired, you can see that they're tired, and their tiredness comes out in the form of irritant, feeling irritable, frustrated. They get angry at people. They get short at people. And then, you know, when you say, look, listen, just step aside, just no, I'm okay. Like everything depends on them, you know, and it's not healthy for the long term. So, yeah, is it? You know, are you truly doing it for God, or is it all about self? And this is there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus anyway. But it's just something for us all to think about, you know, I enjoy doing this. Am I doing it for the Lord, or actually, am I doing it for myself? You know, and if you are doing it for yourself, you know, confess it to the Lord.
But here's my question, because I'm about to bring a different balance here.
Go for it.
If I'm doing it for myself, does it make it bad? Does it make it bad? Well, the question is, because my response to that is, it depends on what the it we're talking about is. If we're talking about the works, for example, in the temple, in the assembly, at church, right? That kind of works. Then it's important. If it's God-centered, then God has to be center. But because there are other types of good works. So for example, here at PHBC, we run a food bank twice a week. It's good works. If someone says, I want to be a better person, I want to be more charitable, understand and grow and develop in being more benevolent, and I want to volunteer at the food bank so I can learn some stuff, that's about self now. Is that necessarily bad?
No.
Because again, I think sometimes as Christians, when we talk about works, it's easy to become a little bit narrow in what we're describing. So we're talking about, you know, being a steward, being an usher at church, being in the worship team, being in the media team at church. But our Christian walk has got to go beyond the building, beyond the ministry. You understand? You know, he calls us to be people who love as we journey in our life, yes, into the mysteries of the world in which we in which we are living, yes. And so what we do has got to transcend the ministry.
Yes.
It's got to transcend the building, I believe. Yeah. So that's why I said, is it all bad? And when you said that, it pinged in my mind, as it, is it for self? The key question is, what you're doing, again, even charity work. As you know, I've been, well, you may know, I've been part of setting up a couple of charities, and one in particular that used to work out in Eastern Ukraine. Well, still works, still there, still exists. I'm just not, I'm not active in the charity any longer. But one of the things we see with charities in these sorts of, similar to that, is charities set up in Western countries that go out to Africa and Eastern Europe and Southeast Asia, are people just out there helping children, and there's always a selfie camera ready to go. Do you understand what I mean? There's always a selfie. There's always a camera. There's always something that you will always put something on social media. You will tell of your, you will tell of your own good works. No, you're not telling of the good works of the Lord or the good works. You tell of your own good works. And again, this is where that balance of for self, where it's self-centered. It's about your own self-interest, where you're not really there to help or to sow or to contribute.
That's a good point. And that just brought up to me, you know, a question that we can ask ourselves is, what difference am I making in the lives of others? You know, whether it is in the church or whether it's, like you say, charity, because we can be busy talking about, oh, I'm here in Uganda and I'm helping to feed the children. But what you're doing, what's the transformation happening in the children? What are you seeing? What are we seeing happening in terms of a transformation in the children? And it's like what, again, bringing it back to local church, what I did, what I served in or did yesterday in church, what difference did I make in the life of someone at church? Whether that was me making sure that I put the right lyrics on the screen to me singing, you know, worshipping through songs, through to me smiling at somebody. What difference did that make?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Rather than go home and think, right, tick box, I done that today in that church. You know, I got my reward. You know, as Jesus said, you know, if you're looking for the reward from men, you've got it. Praise and reward from men. You've got it.
And I think the key thing, and it's interesting you quote Jesus, because I was just thinking earlier when you said, well, let's thinking about scripture. I think it's Matthew 15:16. I believe Matthew, I'm not sure, you know, hey, if I get it wrong, send us a message. I think it's Matthew 15:16, where Jesus was talking about this, and it's the ultimate beneficiary, the ultimate, you know, the end goal. He said, let your good work, something along the lines of, you know, do what you do and do it well so that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not see your good works and thank you. See your good works and think, wow, how good, how great you are. No. And glorify your Father in heaven, not you.
Yes.
Yeah. So fundamentally, you're a conduit to God's praise. What you're doing must be a conduit to God's praise. And if what you're doing is you're saying, oh, I'm off it, I'm in Malawi right now, and here is a 4-year-old Joseph, you know, he's got flies on his face, but don't worry about it, I'm gonna take a selfie and that's made a difference in his life. Really, dude? Really? You know, is how is this glorifying God? How is what you're doing, you know, helping people say, wow, isn't God good? And I think that's a key thing. Matthew 15:16, I think, or 5:16, or 25:16. There's a number 5 in there somewhere, you know. And I think it's really important to recognize that I do not believe that all good works are bad.
No.
Because it fundamentally goes back to the point you were making. Is it singularly, solely about self?
And that's something we need to all examine in ourselves when we're, you know, but for me, you know, just this question, what difference am I making in the life of someone else? And then you'll know from there whether it's self or is it God related?
Yeah.
Why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, is it, again, just to be seen, or are you glorifying God through your actions, through what you're doing? Is God getting the praise? Is Jesus being glorified?
Paul also talked about not being weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap. And I think it's really important that we, as we live our lives, as we live the Christian life, you know, we are showing his love, even though, you know, there are many mysteries in the world around us and uncertainties. We're showcasing God's love, but we do that in the way that we interact with one another. We do that through our kindness. We do that through our benevolence. We do that in many different ways. Paul said, "We are God's handiwork," something like that.
In Ephesians, is that?
Yeah, we're God's handiwork, created for good works, or something like that. Created for good works.
Yeah,
you know, and it is important, created in Christ Jesus for good work, something like that, right? You know, and again, it's a, if you think about the phrases, if you think about what Scripture is saying, every time there's a mention of works, every time there's a mention of the good work, every time there's a mention of the actions we're doing, you know, it is aha. It created for good work, which God prepared for us in advance. You know, it's still rooted and couched and grounded in who God is.
Yes. Correct? I'll just read the Scripture. It says, "For this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Through to 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
Amen. Amen.
So it's knowing what those good works are, you know. And I like what you mentioned earlier about, you know, checking the person's spirit as well, because not everyone is, you know what I mean,
No,
because they can come into the church and sing nicely and hit all the notes and everything, like that, doesn't mean that their spirit is, and I've seen some people that on stage they look, you know, you think, oh yeah, praise God, they're anointed, and then off the, what? You think, are you even born again?
Yeah.
No.
And similarly, because they roll up with eloquent words, doesn't mean we pop them up the front to pray them to lead our intercession.
That as well.
This person's a gifted speaker and they got a great memory. They can they can memorize all those prayers. Oh God, thou God of Abraham, Jacob, Moses.
I've been in intercessory prayer for years and you just reminded me of a few encounters. You're like, I'll be like, I'm not following that person's prayer. In the world? It's true.
Yes.
And again, it's, you know, what spirit are they coming with? No matter what it is, you know.
I mean, there's a clip of this guy in Kenya, and I think he's on social media. If you look him up, you'll find him. He's actually in Kenya, and he's asked to pray, and the president is there, and they chose him bishop somebody, and they chose him because of his name, perhaps his status,
title.
You know, they chose him because of that. Oh, he's prominent. Let's choose the big bishop. So the bishop was there. And this man basically was reeling off as many 4- and 5-syllable words he could find in his you know, vocabulary. That's what he was, to the extent. And his job was to pray, opening up the proceedings for this very serious event with the president and dignitaries, political and state dignitaries were there, to the extent that people were laughing.
Oh my goodness.
He was just, and he was, I mean, this guy was, you know, for example, saying, oh Lord, right now we come against any shenanigans that shall be, and you know, the discombobulation of people's concentrations. There's no need to do that. Do you know, there's no need. And he was doing this, and he had his eyes closed. He had one hand up. He had the microphone and he was going for it. And the people he was praying with were just laughing.
Oh my goodness.
Because to them it was comedic. And here is my thing. In that moment, I will say it publicly. He wasn't praying to Jehovah God. This was not about this. There was no sincerity. There was no God in it. There was no Jesus in it. He wrapped it in Bible paper. He said all the words. But I am telling you for free. His prayer didn't go past the ceiling of that venue. Why? Because for sure, he doesn't talk to God like that.
I bet the angels were standing there with their arms folded. The Holy Spirit gone. Long.
Holy Spirit like, you know what? Not for me. There may be a couple of people in there whose hearts were sincere and the Holy Spirit was standing by them. Yes, yes. But in those words that he was uttering that day, they were words for show. One of the key things is, you know, the sincere heart with which we talk to God. How you talk to God in your prayer closet should be how you talk to God through the microphone in front of 100,000 people.
Yes.
What's with the show? The Pharisaic display. You know, and often that's what we're faced with.
And the scripture in Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You know? And as you say, you know, we shouldn't be doing it for someone to recognize and see and, you know, to get the pats and the acknowledgements and things like that. You know, it's a case of, no, Lord, I'm going to put my hand to the plow. Where do you want me to serve? I'm doing it heartily unto you, Father God, and not unto man.
Yeah.
If someone comes up and says, oh, you did a good job or whatever, we praise God for that. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you for the compliment. You know, I'll work on, you know, it tells me I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
I'll take the pat on the back, you know, but ultimately the Lord gets the glory.
Yeah.
I think also there's also the other thing. I remember one time I said to somebody, you know, this lady had served, I used to run a business and she'd come in and done some stuff. And and I'd said to her, you know what, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much. Thank you. She says, oh, don't mention it. God gets the glory. I said, I know God gets the glory, but I'm thanking you. Oh, don't mention it. God gets the glory. I said, will you just acknowledge the thanks you're receiving? I said, what, you're telling me that I shouldn't thank you? Is that what you're actually saying? And she was like, well, no, I'm just saying God gets the glory. I said, I'm not talking about God. I know how to give God his glory. I'm acknowledging you. I'm affirming and acknowledging, I'm appreciating you. And you're rejecting my thanks. Who are you? I said to her. I was livid. I said, Who are you? Who are you? I said, when I thank God, he accepts it. I thank you, you reject it. Who are you? And, you know, and I think sometimes we get into this false humility thing.
Exactly.
No. Don't thank me. Thank God.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Are you deluded? I'm to do the right thing. The scripture says in Hebrews, I just opened it up now. It says, spur one another to good works, to good deeds. How do I encourage you to good deeds if I can't even just basically say thank you? Just to appreciate you and to recognize you.
Exactly, appreciation, yes.
Because the truth of it, that's why I call it false humility. You know, where's God in all this? What, God's going to come from heaven and do this stuff? God uses my words in saying thank you to recognize you, to affirm you, to encourage you. God uses that gift when someone says, you know what, just to say thank you for all your hard work, here's a gift. The number of people that say, no, I can't take your gift. Wow, it's rooted in pride. Rooted in pride. You know, just shush your mouth, say thank you. You know, I mean, and hey, hands up right here, right now.
Yes,
I've also there. Done that. Yes,
me too.
I remember a situation where I can't remember who I was talking with, and I said I was going to do work business wise, and I said, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to that, da 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 da. Don't worry, it's a gift. And the person says, you know, I want to give you something for it. I said, no, you don't need to. This is my gift to you. And the person says, I hear that, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you. I can't remember. Let's just say I'm going to give you £200. The person said, and I said, no, it's okay. You don't need to. I know I don't need to, but I'm going to give you £200. I said, oh. I prefer if you just, and the person said, listen, if you don't want the £200, give me your wife's telephone number. I'm sure she'll know. If you don't know what to do with the £200, I said, that they said, if you don't know what to do with the £200, give me your wife's telephone number. I'm sure she knows what to do with the money. And in that moment, I stopped and I paused and I thought, what am I doing? Well, no. And interestingly, I was at a place in my life where I did actually have a financial need. But in my own head, I said, I want to sow this seed. No, I'm just sowing a seed. The idea of an instant return, of a quick return, I rejected it. I remember earlier when we were talking about opportunity. Yeah. You and I were talking about opportunity, and opportunity doesn't knock for us. We've got to see it, recognize it, grab it. And here was an opportunity for me to be blessed right there on the spot. But I was like, no, I can't accept this gift. And the Lord's probably there just, you know, palm on his head,
isn't it?
Thinking, what is this?
This is answer to prayer.
Yeah, and we reject it. We reject it. Wow. Yeah, here we are.
Wow, that's been a conversation and a half, Pastor.
It has. At the end of the day, and I do want to read this. You know, it is important that what we do, all our works are rooted in our faith, are rooted in God, are rooted in Christ. James 2, and we know this, what good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose someone, a brother or sister, is without clothes or daily food. If you say to them, go in peace, keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, not to say singularly that, but in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by works, by action, is dead. It is critical, it's essential for us to put our works, our faith, into action to give God the glory.
Amen. Well, thank you all listeners for joining us today and this evening. We thank you for your contributions as well. And we will be back again in 2 weeks' time. You'll have to check the date for that.
25th
of March. We'll come back with another topic. So just to say, remember, competition time. How many times did Pastor say, was it living,
love, life, and other mysteries?
Yeah, let us know. Anyway, you've been listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. My name's Lillian Larty. I've been facilitating tonight's discussion with the lovely Pastor Deji Ayorendi here in the studio. And as always, at the end of the show, we say thank you for listening. Remember to be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.